With me in the book of Acts, chapter 28 tonight. Acts chapter 28. If you look at me there. Acts chapter 28. I feel like the Holy Ghost has directed our hearts to this scripture, and we want to try to obey Him. And preached it several times from this text. And here has been a terrible storm this ship has been in. Really, their life was in jeopardy. Of course, Paul was on the ship and prayed to God. The Lord gave him peace and everybody would be safe. Make it to shore. And I think it's 276 of them on the ship. And of course, the Bible said when they escaped all to safe to the land, verse 28, chapter 28, verse 1 says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, or Malta. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire to seat us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heap and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.'" Verse 5 says, "And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god." I want to try for the Lord to help me tonight to preach on "He Shook It Off." You know, I was thinking about this afternoon. Here, they was in such a great storm. The ship was beaten, battered, and it broke apart. Some of them even come to shore on some of the boards of the ship. But God landed it. And then here, Paul, he's been in all kind of difficult time here, a good while of time. And then he gets to the island. They met by barbarous people, which just mean foreign people, or don't really mean uncivilized people. It was people that couldn't speak Greek, and there's just people of a foreign language and foreign people to them. And when he gets there, they get a fire going. Before you know it, here's this big beast, this big old viper, come out of the heat and fasten on his hand. And it seemed like here that there was one thing after another that he trusted God for. If you remember in that ship that night, he prayed. When they hadn't eaten, 14 days? They went without eating and he prayed. He said, "God's going to keep our health. God's going to uphold us." And he said, "I believe God." That's what he said. He got to the island here by the power of God, grace of God, hand of God. And as soon as he gets there, he's bit by a viper. And there's some things he shook off. And I read in this chapter this afternoon I won't try to encourage you about. And you know, in the Christian life, you'll have to learn to shake some things off. Oh, yes. You know, when you was a young boy, I remember my grandpa especially, and some of, probably my daddy said it some too, and they'd just say, "You just need to shake it off." You have just a common saying. You just need to shake it off. Shake it off. Amen. If you didn't succeed at something you was trying to succeed at and you didn't make it, they'd say, "Shake it off and try again." It's just a common language. But here in this scripture, it says in the verse 5 that Paul shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. You know, the snake not never yet crawling because it was cold and the fire got to going. You get the fire down the house of God, you'll see some snakes crawl. Amen. But you know, I look at this thing tonight, and it's just simplicity here in the things that I see that Paul shook off. First of all, I say he shook off the coldness. It was cold. And it was a fire there, but he went and got some sticks to put on the fire. He saw the need to put some more sticks on the fire to keep the fire going. And he shook the coldness off. I won't say this. We live in a cold day, brother. And it'll take you putting some sticks on the fire. Thank God of your own heart to get your the fire of God in your heart. Amen. I tell you, friend, it don't take long for anybody to get on fire for God. Amen. To meet a 6-foot icicle somewhere. Thank God it tells them they don't know nothing about God. But I tell you, just keep the fire burning. Amen. I like the fire. Don't you? Somebody said, I'm scared it might be wildfire. Well, I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire. Amen. I tell you, I like the fire. I like the real fire that burns. We got to have the fire of God. It'll take some work. It got Paul working there, and he got to working to get some sticks on the fire. And I tell you, it'd take us all a little while to get the stick of concern on the fire, knowing that we are concerned about this present day, concerned about sinners, and concerned about the church's condition, that the church needs a fire of God in it, and it's going to take somebody tonight, thank God, to get concerned about putting some sticks on the fire. It don't say nobody else does it. Wonder why it's always him. Thank God, looks like that's the way it is sometimes. It's just a few people trying to put some sticks on the fire. My goodness, could you imagine 276 men if they'd have went out somewhere and grabbed a bundle of sticks and thrown it on that fire? Well, that'd have burnt the place down. Amen. But thank God, Paul put them sticks on the fire and he shook out the coldness that was in that day. It had been raining there and it was cold. And we face some days of coldness in our own hearts. I hate it, but it's just the truth. Some days we're trying to get right with God and it's just a cold heart. It's frigid. And we don't have no fire of God in our soul. And you say, preacher, what you do when you got that? Thank God, try to pull something up in my soul that the Holy Ghost has shown me and God's done for me that the fire might burn again. I tell you, did not the Bible say, amen, that I'm talking about the fire in Jeremiah's bones that he could not stay knowing his call, and God had put something in his own heart that he ought to have in his soul that he couldn't quit. He had the fire in him. I tell you, we need to remember where God's brought us from and what God's done for us. How that God put an unction in us. And it's not man made us God that has to do it. But out there, there's some fire in my soul that God put in my heart. And I know I'm in a cold day. I know sometimes it's cold in my own heart and in the church. But God help us all to shake off the cold and put some sticks on our heart and get the putting on the fire out. Somebody can warm by. Amen. Thank God we need some warm down at the house of God. Need somebody to carry the kindling to the fire. It'll take God's men, God's people in the church to throw the stick on the fire. And he shook off the coldness of that day. And I tell you what, it wasn't only a benefit to him, it was a benefit to everybody else that they could pull up and warm up to the fire. I tell you, friend, you know why God said about that cold, it's better to be cold and lukewarm. If you go out and be cold, you'll pull up to the fire. A man that's lukewarm won't pull up to the fire. He's just satisfied with being lukewarm. But somebody's cold, they'll pull up to the fire. Did not the man of God say, the Lord Jesus said, he said in the last days, he said, the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And we're living in a cold air and a cold day. But some churches is a refrigerator. Amen. God help us not to get refrigerator. A Baptist church. Hey. Ought to be some fire in your soul. Ought to be something to ignite you for God. If you pull up your salvation experience and remember where God brought you from and what God's done for you down through the years, it ought to kindle a fire in your heart. Amen. And somebody pull up too and say it's got to be around the fire. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Well, I'd rather, you know, I find people following the fire trucks, wondering what's going on, where the fire's at. Amen. One old man of God, I believe it was John Wesley, said he caught himself on fire. And people come to see him burn up. Amen. Thank God, there's just something about the fiery workings of God and the fiery preaching of the Word of God. And my friend, being around where the fire's at. I tell you, we need the Holy Ghost fire. You know, I'm telling you the truth. And we need the throw the sticks on the fire. We need to overcome and shake up the coldness of this day. And my friend, the traditions of this day and the rituals of this day. And my friend, the Baptists have got like some of the rest of them have. They don't have no fire of God. They don't have no unction of God. They don't have no power of God. Hey, I tell you, ought to get it in your heart tonight that you're going to throw some sticks on the fire. Amen. That's right. Thank God that young lady had come this morning. I tell Brother Wade now, and she said, the little boy wasn't no preacher's mad this morning. Amen. That's right. Never had heard no preaching like that. I reckon. I told her, I said, we just try to prayer bank preach a little. She said, you know, my husband told me about that one time. She said, I was glad to get to hear it this morning. And, you know, I don't know about that or not. That'd be between her and God. But I'll tell you one thing. Amen. I want some fire in my heart. I want some fire in my message. Well, Billy Sunday said, if there ain't no fire in the message, he needs to throw it in the fire. I say amen to that. Thank God we need some fire around the house of God. Hey, there's some fire in my heart. Like the Holy Ghost put there. Hey, Paul overcame the cold. He shook it off and got where the fire was. Amen. Right. I'll say this tonight. Get this here. Not only did he shake off the fire, he shook off the opinions.
Yeah.
Did you recognize what them men said when that serpent bit him?
Yeah.
They said, that man's a murderer.
Yeah.
Right.
He's suffering for wrongdoing. It didn't cause him to stop. It didn't cause him to throw aside what God had told him to do. Hey, can I tell you tonight? Boy, there's a lot of opinions going around the house of God. I'm going to tell you tonight, God knows your heart. Hey, God's the only one that does know your heart. Hey, man, there's nobody knows your heart but God. I tell you, you might know some of it. You don't know all of it. God knows your heart. I'm going to tell you tonight,
you're
God
right.
Knows a man's heart.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you what, tell you, get to shake it off. Hey, God, the opinions of men and what everybody else says about God and His Word. I tell you what God wants. I'm going to go with God if you'll have me. And it don't really matter what the opinions of men are. Amen.
Right.
That's right. Thank God. Amen. That's right. You know, boy, I'm going to tell you what. You can't serve God and men too. Galatians 1 and 10, Paul said we can't serve Him. You got to serve God or you'll serve man. You can't serve them both. You can't do it. There's people that got opinion about things in my life, and they've told me they didn't like the way I preached. Boy, I tell you, when I started preaching the Word of God, and I just done what God said. I didn't know nothing else. I had never been in no kind of formal education. I'm not preaching against that. I'm just telling you my testimony. God called me to preach. I got saved in 1983, and God started putting in my heart to preach the Word of God. I didn't know nothing about preaching. I just sat around and listened to men on the radio and been down to the house of God and heard some preach. But God put preach in my heart. Amen. I got to preach and thank God that set the fire burning my soul. And wanted God, wanted to preach. And boy, you ought to heard the opinions fly. Hey, not everybody liked what the man of God was saying. Everybody didn't like the style. And they said, well, you need to do it another way. And you know, they don't need to do it that way. They said, you're too loud. And they said, you ought not take your coat off. And I got to think about this thing. And I said, God, I tell you, I must believe I'm going to do what you say. I've got too many instructors. Hey, God, I need the Holy Ghost to tell me what to do. And some good old men of God's been down the road. I tell you, there's a lot of opinions about how the man of God ought to do it. But I tell you, better go with God. I tell you what Paul did. He shook off the opinions of men. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Amen. I tell you, you know, God's never made two men alike. That's right. There's like-mindedness, but there's never two men alike.
Right.
You know that's right.
Yeah.
Amen. Everybody in here is different.
Sure.
Even though you're saved, you're different.
Yeah.
Amen. God gets glory out of you, of who you are, how He made you. That's right. Thank God it takes the whole body to function together.
Yeah.
That's right. The hand can't say he don't need the foot.
Yeah.
And the foot can't say he don't need the ear. Every part of the body is important in the eyes of God. He even said the feeble members. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Amen. The members that's weaker, they are important too. Amen. I tell a friend tonight, thank God. Hey, we need, thank God, to overcome that kind of thing. And shake off the opinions of men. And go by what the book says. And go by what God says. And don't worry about what the opinions of men are. Hey, you can't live for God. He shook off them opinions, amen.
Amen.
Thank God, I'm glad tonight. Praise God, you can have victory in Christ.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you this, I'm honest with my heart. I am concerned about my testimony. I am concerned about wanting people to accept me in the Lord. One old man of God says, please man long as it don't hinder the truth.
Yeah.
I think you got to consider some things. It's not me only. There's a whole lot involved in this church.
Right.
Whole lot involved in the workings of God.
Right.
Amen. And thank you. That's what's wrong with the Corinthians. It was about them. It wasn't about the glory of God. And he considered the glory of God. It was who they wanted as a preacher. Or what they thought about it, about something. That's why Paul said you're carnal. He said you walk as men. You got division among you. And the fact of it is, there's going to be opinions. Thank God. There's going to be people that say things they ought not say. Amen. But thank God they did. They said that man's a murderer. I tell you what, Daddy shook it off.
Yeah, right.
You got to shook off the opinions of men. That's right. There's been all kinds of people say things about you. What you do that for. But you know what? It's between you and God, a lot of that. I understand I'm accountable to God and the church. I'm accountable to my wife tonight. I'm accountable. You are too. And that's right. But when it comes down to serving God, doing the will of God, you can't let the opinions of men persuade you. You got to shake that off. If you don't, I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll be following what men say and what men think. Every time you will. I tell you, friend, thank God he shook it off. You had to shake off of the opinions of men tonight.
Right.
Don't say this. You had to shake off the serpent. That's what he shook off.
Yeah.
That beast come and bit him right on the instrument of his body he was using. You ever thought about that? He grabbed his hand. The hand's what carried the sticks. The devil will attack you. The place that God's using you.
Right, yeah.
That's right. He'll attack you to keep, thank God, from you glorifying God. And you see, if you hang around the heat, thank God, you're going to have some servants to go at you. And listen to me tonight. I want to give you three things right quick here on this. I want to say, first of all, and this is, that was a poisonous snake. They knew that was a viper, something they called it a beast. It was a poisonous snake. And that snake grabbed hold of that man of God. And they knew with that poison and the reputation of that beast that any time that man should have fell dead because of that beast hanging on to him and putting his teeth in his arm. Amen. They knew that. In fact, Mark 16... And it is prophetic there.
Yes, it is.
He said, thank God that he could take up serpents and ain't snake handling. God help, Paul snake handled. He handled snakes, if you don't say it that way. But the fact of it is, handling snakes is not biblical.
No. Right.
In fact, I think it's stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think about it, but I'll tell you what. We ain't gonna have no snakes around here.
No way. Right.
God help. But that's right, brother. And they ought to be in the parking lot. Amen? That's right. And I'll run over one right past myself. But the fact of it is, that's not what that meant. That meant Paul, God gave Paul power over the serpent right there. And that's right. And you know what he done? The word shake means he brushed it off. He put it back in the fire where it came from. I'm just saying tonight, hey God, he shook it off. He shook off the serpent. And there's three things I want to mention tonight. First of all, you're going to have to learn to shake off the serpent of your past.
Right.
If you don't learn to shake off the serpent of your past, that serpent will hang on to you and hang. And what that serpent do, it'll eventually kill you, it'll drain you. That poison that'll get, hey listen, the devil, all he wants to do is bring up the past on you. He's going to say, you remember what you done? You remember what you used to be? Hey friend, I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm this about aggravated kind of things like this. When people bring up other people's past and say, you done this to me, or you used to do this, or done that, I'm telling you, that's an abomination sight of God Almighty. That God's forgave a man, put him in the family of God. I mean, cleanse him from his sin. And somebody wants to bring up the past. That's the same thing the devil does. He's the accuser of the brethren. That's not God. And that serpent will kill you, I'm telling you. The past.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh yeah, men remember it. God don't. He forgives a man. Yes. Cleanses him from it. But there's people that never can get over that.
Right.
Now listen to me. I hope you don't take what I'm about to say wrong. I understand tonight that it's God in me that does anything. I know that's right. And I understand consecrated living is how we all live. We all live consecrated to God. But there ain't none of you out there, including myself, you looking at, that ever will be perfect enough for God to use us.
Amen. Right.
If you think you're going to get there, you won't. It's just the God of heaven taking His hand and putting it upon you to sovereignly use you in His will for His good pleasure, that His will might be accomplished. And it surely ain't no attribute to me. If I'm consecrating the way I ought to and living the way I ought to, it's because God's grace taught me that way. And God gave me grace to do it. And brother, I tell you, there's nobody in this house of God that's better than anybody else. I'm telling you that. The my friend, God can use any man that will give himself to God tonight. I understand there are some things a man can do that will disqualify him in certain areas of ministry. But at the same time, there's not no disqualification in serving God. Amen. I mean, there's no disqualification of serving God. That when a man goes for God, thank God, and he's and people's trying to bring his past up all the time and write him about his past, I tell you, friend, he's going to have to throw out the serpent of the past. He's going to have to get rid of, my friend, of the opinions of men, and say, I'm going to live for God, do what God says. Amen. I'm telling the serpent of the past, it'll end up killing you. Amen. That's right. I've heard people say, I believe God can forgive me, but I can't forgive myself. Well, it's a lack of faith.
Yes, it is.
It's a lack of faith. You say, preacher, I really hate what I've done. God help, we've all done things we wish we hadn't done.
Amen.
There ain't a person in this room would want your last 7 hours of thought life be put up on a wall. And I'm going around with a mind that wants to think wrong. It's just the way the flesh is. You got to confess and get the stuff out. Amen. Like old Grandpa Hart said, the bird might fly over your head, just don't let him build a nest in it. Amen. That's right, friend. The past, the servant of the past, it'll haunt you, I'm telling you.
Right.
Then I'll say this, and this in here is a killer. The serpent of besetting sins. That'll drain you. I saw him grab me. And I told you this, and I'll tell you again. The serpent grabbed him in the place he was being used. He'll grab you in the weakest point of your life. He'll attack you in the weakest place, Brother Sheen.
Yep.
He'll do it. He does it every time. I'm telling you, I know that's right. I know myself better than you do. And I know what I ought to put a guard up against. How about sometimes in besetting sins, how them things we give place to, I tell you what it ends up doing. Hey, we put our hand in the wrong place and give place to the serpent to attack.
Amen.
Amen. You say, what you think we'll do to people that falls into sin? I think if we're spiritual minded, we ought to restore them. That's right. That's what we ought to do. He said, he the spiritual restore such a one the spirit of meekness considering thyself. That means if somebody falls into some sin, then we ought to be restore them. We ought not condemn them. That's right, brother. It is by the grace of God. That man is by the wayside over there, laying in the ditch, half dead. Thank God that religion and the law couldn't do nothing for him. It took another man to come by. And he was an outcast man. Thank God a Samaritan. But he knew where that man was. That's where he was in his life. He came where he was at, picked him up, put him on his beast, and put oil and wine in his wounds and bound him up. Took care of him.
Right.
You got to shake off the... I won't preach this tonight. Say this. I can preach by personal experience only. I can't preach your experience. I don't know how you are. But the sins I have a battle with are the same ones.
Oh yeah.
It's the same ones. Same ones. I have battled the same sins. Same ones. Have the battle the same ones. And I say to God, why did I do that? And in it, really, like Paul, I hate what I done. Paul said that what I do, he said I hate. That what I should be doing, I don't do it. That's Romans 7. That's the warfare of a spiritual man who called himself a wretched man that I am. That's the same sin. It's the serpent of sin. It's that besetting sin. It's that thing that attacks a man, attacks a woman, and it's just the same thing over and over and over that attacks somebody. And buddy, I'm going to tell you what. It can wear you. And you know what you'll do? You'll feel guilty in your heart. The devil will say, you're not even saved. That's why he say, you're not even saved. That's what he'll say. He said, how can you keep doing these same things and you're going to God and you're repenting and you want God to help you? And the devil will say, well, you ain't even saved. I'm glad I got a perfected work in me. And I'm glad God perfected it. And God's teaching me. And I've been saved for about 30 years and I've got more battle today than I ever have had. And it's a besetting sin. It's that serpent crying out from the fire after a victory, after God's done something for us. Hey God, we go home on Sunday night. We say, thank God for His grace. Thank God for His help today. And go home and the next morning wake up and we feel the serpent on our hand again.
Right.
You need to shake it off.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
A serpent of sin. It'll get you. That's right. Serpent of jealousy will get you. It will. Solomon said, as cruel as the grave, it separates. God have mercy on us. He shook it off. You know, Paul was a gracious man. When they said that about him, he didn't ever say nothing. He just shook it off. Shook it off. You know what I'd like to have done when they said that? I'd like to have went over and stood beside him and say, thank you, preacher. Putting them sticks on the fire. Amen. You're not my enemy. If you do wrong, you're not my enemy. You're my friend.
Amen.
God's taught me that. A friend loves at all times. I go ahead and stand beside, amen, that man that shook it off. Amen. Hey, you know what they said? He's a murderer. You know what Baptist church people is good for sometimes?
Murder.
Spreading, murdering the brethren. Right. That's right. Murdering the brethren.
Yes, sir.
He that loved not his brother is a murderer. He hated him. And you know what they're responsible for sometimes? Bless God, I knew he wasn't no count.
There you go.
Boy, you better thank God you ain't you.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I don't know where we've got the idea that if we think it's compromising to help somebody that's down. I'm not compromised. That's love.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take a place for in them with their sin. I'm not going to indulge in their sin with them. But praise God, I want them to know I love them and care for them. And brother, when the service biting them, ain't got somebody to stand beside them and tell them to shake it off. They shook it off. Shake off that serpent of the past and sin, jealousy. Where did he shake it, preacher? Back into the fire.
Right.
He put him back where he came from.
Sure did.
Right out of the fire.
Yeah.
That cold-blooded devil.
Yeah.
Right. And that whole crowd looked at him when that serpent was on him and they said he's a murderer and they shook it off in the fire and they watched him.
Yeah.
And they saw him just keep on doing the will of God. Amen. I told my wife, buddy, there, how many people sat out there like the rest of them people and just watch? Watch. And son, if one of you fail or I fail, you know what they'd say? I told you he wasn't nothing. They don't know nothing about love anyhow.
Right.
If you can't love a man while he's down, you don't love him.
Amen.
You better believe that.
Yeah.
Amen. If you don't love a man for who he is, you don't love him.
Right.
You don't love people for what they do for you. You love them who they are.
Right.
He said, he's a murderer. Then when they saw he didn't fall down, they changed their mind.
Yes, they did.
They said, he's a God. You figure that out there where Paul went to that chief of that island there and prayed over that man and healed him? This grace, brother. This grace. You know, Christian people can be bold and have grace and love towards sinners. And I'll tell you what, you better learn to shake some things off. You better learn to shake defeat off in your life. You're going to fail sometimes. If you teach or preach, you will. You'll go home and say, what a mess.
Yep.
I've thought sometimes that priest, I said, unto God, I hate them people who had to drive out there to hear that. That's what I've thought before. Go back to the house. Tell my wife, I said, I'll just let somebody else preach tonight. Let somebody else have it. God help. Sorry, on my behalf, not to do any better than that. And realizing, no, it's got to be God if anything works anyhow.
Yeah.
Go back there and sit on the couch and the devil climb up on me and bite my wrist. Sling on to it, hang on to it, and say, you ain't nothing.
Yeah.
You wasted them people's time to even come to the house of God to hear some stuff like that. In my own heart, I'm saying, God, have mercy and help me. And then the next day, somebody called me and said, brother, that was one of the best messages I heard you preach. And the Holy Ghost says, shake him off, son. Shake him off. I'm telling you, shake him off. Down there, when you're praying sometimes and the devil is up on you and try to hold on to you and say, you ain't getting nowhere praying. Look at all the messes are going on. Look what you've been through. Look what you're going through. Where's God at in your life? Hey, you better learn to shake that mess off and know he's a liar and God's God and God's going to help you out. I tell you, God will vindicate his truth itself. He always comes through. We just need to learn to shake it off.
Amen.
That's right. Better learn to shake off that coldness in the day we're living in. And opinions. Everybody's got an opinion. I'm an opinionated man. I hate to say that. But I am. I don't express it all the time, but I'm opinionated. My wife told me that.
Knows you better than anybody.
You better believe that. But you know what? Opinions don't stand. The truth does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, we've about solved the whole world's problem, haven't we, before sitting around?
Yeah.
I'm giving our opinion on something. We'll get up, nothing changed. We'll say, you know, it'd been better. I'll talk about Jesus and the good word of God and praise. You got to hold to God on behalf of everything instead of giving our opinion on everything. Biblical advice is different than just giving an opinion on something. We need to learn to shake it off. He didn't move because of what they said. Right. Don't say this. He shook off the serpent. He didn't fall down, give up. God was with him. As a proof, God was with him. You better learn to shake some things off tonight in your own life. Amen. You'll go down if you don't. You better realize that. There's going to be some things hit you head on in this Christian life. The devil's after you. And I understand we're in the hedge of God. I know all that. But I'm telling you, we're in a warfare. We're in a warfare. God help us. He shook it off. Shook it off. Brushed it off. Jostled. That's what that word jostled means. Just brushed it off. Thank God for that. Amen. What you need to shake off tonight in your own personal life. Let's stand. I appreciate you hearing me.